For the word portion of the service today, we didn't have Bible class earlier today, and with sort of the series of sermons over Christmas, I thought it might be kind of a neat way to dig into this very short text by doing a little bit of a similar format to our growth group Bible studies. So we'll open up with the reading of the text, and then a little bit of an icebreaker, and then we'll get into some questions that help us really dig into it and come up with some good applications for living in the name of Jesus. So here's the text from Luke chapter 2, verse 21. After 8 days passed, when the child was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Well, how did you mark the passing of another year of grace last night? And this isn't confession time. This is just, what'd you do for fun? No, not looking for, you know, just, what'd you do? Anybody want to offer? Herring? I joined you in that, pickled herring, last night. I think I was the only one in my house that did. I didn't. Nobody else had it? Yeah, I didn't. Okay. Herring? One piece of herring. Okay.
No, we watched Netflix and I went to bed.
Eight? So New Year's in London or something like that? Or somewhere in the mid-North Atlantic? Yeah, okay.
Happy New Year.
Anybody else? What'd you do? Flash. It is okay. It seems pretty common because nobody else is really anxious to share. So you either did nothing or you're embarrassed by what you did. I don't know. One or the other. Deb. Okay. All right. So got together, spent a little time together.
Watched a movie. Marx Brothers movie.
I'm sorry?
A Marx Brothers movie.
Oh, wow. Okay, did you make it through the whole movie?
Yeah.
Oh, well done, you.
It was over 9:30.
Oh, okay. Tori, do you have one?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, if it makes y'all feel better, we literally celebrated Christmas 2 nights ago.
So. Oh, so if Christmas was 2 nights ago, you have New Year's is like a week away yet? Yeah, gotcha. Okay, all right. Well, that was just to sort of get us talking and moving a little bit here, but explain this. The 1st of January becomes for us not just another notch in time, but a genuine link with eternity through the flesh of God's own Son. So I mentioned today a terrible teaching. Apologize to any teachers. I should not ask a question and then start talking right away. I do it all the time. As I mentioned, today is the name of Jesus. Marks the 8th day when Jesus, his parents, took him to the temple, and this is one of those moments where we realize that Joseph and Mary, they were actually poor. We primarily pull that part of from circumstance, but by the doves that they gave as the sacrificial offering, that was the offering that was given by those who couldn't afford to do a grander gesture at that point. So Mary and Joseph, we know, did not have lots of means, but they gave the if you want to call it the poor version of the sacrifice, and then Jesus was circumcised, and then at that time was given the name Jesus. So here we are, January 1st, beginning of a new year, which much of the world is, well, let's be honest, much of the world is probably still sleeping, but this new year of grace began today, but for us, this is not just another notch in time. What is this genuine link with eternity? Why is this such a big deal for us to think of Jesus and his name on January 1st? Okay, so we have hope. We have it's in the name that Jesus saves, that God saves, and so we have hope there. Okay, Joy. Hi. Sorry, I'm just reading your shirt.
Yeah. I got it as a gift with a good name. But
okay, helps give us perspective as we make our way through this time of grace. We realize that we're, you know, another day, another year closer to our eternity. Sure, okay. How about the through the flesh of God's own Son? What do you know about circumcision? I mean, as far as why it was significant. Yeah, to redeem those under law. He had to be like us. In Old Testament times, this was, it's not quite a one-for-one, but it's essentially the Old Testament baptism that male children would undergo. And because of that, it was something that marked you as a child of God, like baptism does for us today. It marks us as a child of God. It brings to us the forgiveness of sins through that means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament. We talked about that. But for this with Jesus, it was as much that he didn't need to be marked as a child of God. He didn't need forgiveness of sins, but he was under the law. He did what we needed to do. He became like one of us, not just God wrapping himself in humanity, but also subjecting himself to those requirements of the law to fulfill what we could not. And so, on this January 1st, this isn't just about celebrating a new year. It is remembering that Jesus came to do what he said he was going to do, that he became like one of us and put himself under the law. There we go. And that jumped ahead on me. All right, so he receives this name. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Literally, it means God saves. Yahweh saves. And this is a mighty name. A lot of us, you know, we look at our names and a number of them have meaning, particularly if they have some Hebrew roots. My name is Yoel, Jehovah is God. And while sometimes maybe I have delusional thoughts of being God, I in no way embody the name of God. But Jesus does. He receives this name, Jesus, and he embodies it, fulfills it to its fullest extent. There is nothing about that name that God connects to it that Jesus did not fulfill. That's why this is, why this is such a significant thing. So, Billy Sunday, some of you may know that name. He's an interesting guy, kind of a televangelist. Think of a televangelist and some of those personalities that they have. He was that kind of guy, but long before television. Anyway, Billy Sunday, charismatic guy, he said, there are 256 names given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I suppose this was because he was infinitely beyond all that any one name could express. If you look at those names of Jesus, every single one of them is Jesus' ability, his capability to do. But not just to do for you. And that's an interesting thing. It's one thing for Jesus to have a name like, let's just pick something out of the air, Clever. We call it, his name was Clever. Yeah, Jesus was smart. Great. No, Jesus' names are things like, you know, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. These are all action names, but not for him, for you. That's where the gospel is so integral in his name. It's not just Jesus saves you, but that Jesus acts and works and fulfills and completes, does everything for you. That's at the heart of the gospel. But not just for you. See, now we get into this next step where he talks about what about through you. So what are some of the things that you do in the name of Jesus?
Pray.
Excellent. In Jesus' name we pray. What else? What do you do? What do you do in the name of Jesus? You ruined it for everybody. No, I'm just kidding. That's exactly right. Everything. I mean, you think about it. Yes, we can come up with individual things. Begin our day in the name of Jesus. We eat in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. But finally, everything is under that umbrella, isn't it? That we do everything through Jesus. So, is this just a magic thing? I mean, is it so, you know, as long as we put the name of Jesus on it, then we know that it's gonna happen? You know, if I say, you know, God, I want $1 million in the name of Jesus, ta-da. I mean, is that kind of how we look at it, or what do we need to understand about these things that we do in the name of Jesus? Why do we do them in the name of Jesus?
Well, we should pray in the name of Jesus and give to those who are the least of these.
Yeah, that we're kind of this in between Jesus and those that need to know him, need to hear of him, that need to receive from him, right? Yeah, so he uses us as a conduit to get him to others. Sure. Why else? Why else do we use the name of Jesus?
Power.
Is that the ta-da thing, or are you good?
at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So if we say in the name of Jesus, it's almost like Jesus is blessing it. And, you know, the $1 million question, it's like, well, God, what we'll do, you know, worship of those who love you. So, you know, why not? $1 million. We didn't decide
right.
To not be the best for you.
So really, your point, if I'm hearing what you're saying, is that using the $1 million thing again, is that Jesus has the power to do it, not that he will if we tack his name onto it. Yeah, so we're not manipulating God, but he has the power. Why else? In the name of Jesus. Yeah, that's great. Spencer. The what?
Bless
we the Lord. The Benedicamus as the... is it's called there, bless be the Lord, thanks be to God. Some of you, I'm sure, just had that initial reaction as soon as you hear bless be the Lord, thanks be to God. Okay, so that there's a blessing that comes with that name?
Yeah, well, there's a relationship there. You know, when you pray at their time, it's frequent that we not just thank the Lord for provision,
Yeah, Spencer's talking about there's a relationship. I'm just summarizing that there's a relationship between us and that name, Jesus. I mean, again, using the magic thing, the magician has no relationship with abracadabra. We have a relationship with Jesus. It's not just a name, a statement. It is a relationship. And it is this relationship that as God blesses us, we respond with thanksgiving, and it's this beautiful relationship is there. Excellent. Anything else in the name of Jesus? Why? And so we just cross our fingers and say, well, he said it, and I hope it happens. Why can we totally rely on?
Because God doesn't lie.
Yeah. There's a certainty, and I will call it an authority in the name of Jesus, right? That if Jesus says something, he will do it. We talked about it in our Blue Christmas service, that God makes the promises to give us what we need, to bless us with what we need, to get us through what we need to get through. And he attaches that promise to his name. In other words, he can't be God if he doesn't follow through. That's how authoritative he is. And so when we do things in the name of Jesus, we tie everything to that name. When we pray in the name of Jesus, what is it that we know will happen? It will be done. That God will hear us, that he will respond, that he will work his will. Yes. What happens when we pray or we begin a meal in Jesus' name? What can we be confident of? You don't need to make it too overcomplicated. Right. Yeah, that we'll be blessed through that. God says we will, and we will. When we begin a new year of grace in the name of Jesus, what can we be confident in? Yeah, God will be with us through that year. I mean, you look at what's happening in our world, and there are a lot of question marks. It's nothing new in 2023. It's been that way ever since the fall into sin. A lot of question marks about what tomorrow is going to bring. But what hasn't changed is God's name on his people. The power, the authority, the promise, the follow-through of the name of Jesus, that we can do, live, work, all in the name of Jesus, confident in his name and what he brings. Gregory of Nazianzus was a medieval earlier church father, but he put it this way. He said he began his ministry, Jesus, by being hungry, yet he's the bread of life. He ended his earthly ministry by being thirsty, yet he was the living water. Jesus was weary, yet he is our rest. Jesus paid tribute, yet he is the king. He was accused of having a demon, yet he cast out demons. Jesus wept, yet he wipes away our tears. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, yet he redeemed the world. Jesus was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, yet he is the good shepherd. Jesus died, yet by his death, he destroyed the power of death. Under the law, one of us, and yet could provide it all. Everything that we need in that name. And it all begins with what he did at the cross, right? We really look no further than the authority that he gives us in what Luther called the ministry of the keys, the ability that he gives us to forgive each other's sin in the name of Jesus. You may have memorized this in your youth or be currently in the process of doing it. When a Christian congregation with its called pastor uses the keys in accordance with Christ's command by forgiving those who repent of their sin and are willing to amend, it is as valid and certain in heaven also as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. That's his authority. That's his power. That's the certainty in his name, that he even gives us the ability to forgive each other our sins so that we can have that joy of having it lifted from us, to have a clean slate, not just for a new year, but every day of grace ahead of us. It's all a new day, a clean slate, and the ability to leave the past behind and look towards what is ahead, the eternal place that Christ has prepared for us. Now, you know the famous quote about what's in a name, right? William Shakespeare. He said, "What's in a name? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet." What's his point?
Anything.
Anybody know any rose names? I actually only know one. Champlain. And quick story, many of you know that our oldest son, Grant, had life-threatening health issues as an infant. And we spent about, 10, 12 days at Children's Hospital in St. Paul, and they had these beautiful dark red roses planted out front. And we loved them so much and had such a grand connection with God's blessing through all of that and bringing Grant through that we planted them in our yard. So I know Champlain roses. I also know, thanks to Dave, some pink roses called Bill Baffin, because Dave planted some Bill Baffin roses in our yard once upon a time. Any other names come to mind? He's got the horticultural background. He'd probably give me about 50, but... Peace Rose?
American Beauty,
okay.
Wandering
Beauty. Oh, okay. Dave knows. If you want any more names, just talk to Dave. But the point is, I mean, they're all beautiful. They certainly have different colors and textures and scents and, you know, all those things. But finally, what's Shakespeare's point? It's a rose. It's beautiful. It smells sweet. And whether you call it Champlain or Peace or American Beauty or Wandering Beauty or whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. It's a rose. It's nice and it's beautiful. But why is he wrong? What is it about, as we look at the name of Jesus, why is he wrong? Absolutely.
But he is wrong about what's in the name, because names have meaning, especially for Jesus, where, as pointed out before, every single one of his names is what he does for us.
Yeah, you could call me Jesus, but I am not Jesus. Just ask my wife. But when we call Jesus Jesus, there is something in that name. Right? There is something that is special. What is it in Jesus' name that makes it so special, so powerful, so reassuring? And finally, fill in the blank. Whatever it is that Jesus' name means to you in whatever you're going through. I'll tell you, I think you know this firsthand, that name Jesus can mean something way different at different times in your life. That name of Jesus can be a name that calms. It can be a name that reassures. It's a name even that you know as judge when he comes again, that he will carry out justice. It's a name that you know for some people could end up being pretty scary. But it's also a name that we know that we want to be on the words of people's lips. When we talked earlier about the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we want him to be Lord of all, because we know that when we come to the end of our lives, we can be confident that we will end our lives in the same way that we began our spiritual lives. In the name of Jesus, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, marking you as a redeemed child of Christ. And then, when you transition from this time of grace into the glory that awaits, it is that name of Jesus that is on us, that we will bear forever with him as he's always intended. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all the blessings that you give us in the name of Jesus. Strengthen us, empower us to live our lives, lives of faith in the name of Jesus, that through it all we can give glory, praise, thanksgiving to the name that is above every name, Jesus, our Savior. Amen.